Amen. Okay, well.
I'll try number 85. An older sister in Nairobi used to love to sing this song. And those are the years I was growing up. So I'll try singing.
Amen.
The sands have been washed in the footprints of the stranger on Galilee's shore, and the voice that subdued the rough billows will be heard in Judea no more. But the path of that lone Galilean, with joy I will follow today. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. And the toils of the in
Amen, amen, amen.
Sister Trudy's going to come and minister for us this afternoon.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died. He bore my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let's all stand and worship a while now. But now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. I first believe. Sing it this way now. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. In that new Jerusalem, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
How do you want to see you?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
You love it. See him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn where we're reading this morning from Ephesians 1, and then we were in John 3. Ephesians 1 and John 3. Now remember, the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Longoria's this coming weekend. We'll be leaving here about 10:30. Make sure you let us know if you want to go with us and all there to the fellowship meeting and back. Also, now remember, to the couples. Today is the last day to sign up if you're desiring to come to the or go with us to the Sweetheart Banquet and all, and it's there at Oakwood. Will be, because, you know, we're having to know way ahead of time to be able to get another building and different things, because we, you know, we've lost the one that we used to get. And I also remember that now. If you want to go with us, it'll be a Sweetheart Banquet. We have a good time. It's a good time to just for a husband and wife to just get out and for us to fellowship together, you know, as couples and just, you know, do things. We play little games and eat and fellowship and eat and fellowship and eat. And, you know, we do a lot of eating and things and just, you know, just remember that. And two, I wanted to say something because I said this morning, I made a statement, and I always love to stand corrected. It doesn't bother me. I said this morning, you know, I was saying, well, Moses never said, thus saith the Lord. Well, it was reminded I was in between the services. I think it was about eight times or so many times Moses did say, thus saith the Lord. But the point I was trying to get at was that a lot of times he didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He was speaking, even if he was speaking, thus saith the Lord, he was speaking straight from God as the Christ and the things. And just listen to this morning's message, and I think it will help you. Now, two, you know, I'll say it this way. I was sitting in the study and got corrected or jumped on to again because there was a little feller came in there that was 5 years old. And he looked at my notes and he says, that ain't nothing but scribble scrabble. I ain't going to call his name, but he's Aaron's youngest boy. You know, I take my corrections and, you know, the point of, because it does look like hen scratching to everybody else, you know. And I speak in mysteries and I write in mysteries. Nobody knows how to interpret that, you know, because it's too much. Because, see, there's two sermons on there already, you know. This is this morning, that's this evening. And I was trying to preach this morning basically from just a thought, and that's the reason I done that. I didn't, you know, you probably, some of you didn't know it. I could preach without notes sometimes, but I did try to bring it. Sister Anna. Yeah, Anna did when I was, when she was about 5 years old. So I haven't increased in my education, especially in writing. But I will tell you, there is not a Dale that can write. We were never made to be writers. If you've seen Terrence, and you look, and his name is Dale. That's it. It's just a straight line and down, and Dale, that's Terrence. We're not known for being able to write. We're known to being able to talk. Okay. But just remember these things. Remember now, too, if you desire to go with us. And then I ask you, if you would, to make plans to try to be here. I have a thought. See, that was why my mind was pulled this morning. And really, I didn't want, it's not I don't want to preach on Wednesday on something, but it's more the people are here on Sunday. And I like to try to keep the main point onto the Sunday time of ministering. And if you would, try to be here next Sunday, because I have something I believe is going to be very valuable to us to understand a lot of things. So then, you know, I'm always building. We went back and we listened. I preached on predestination, how does God do it, in 2014. And I went back and we did the other night and listened to one of the services. And see, I try to preach a progressiveness. You say, well, I've heard you preach predestination three or four times, okay? Probably if you hang around, you'll hear me again. I preached on one God three or four times. You hang around, you'll hear it again. I preached on marriage and divorce three or four times. You hang around, you'll hear it again. You know, because really, you know, there's not a whole lot to preach. You know what I mean? I don't mean that wrong. There's a whole Bible to preach. But it's still in topics and things. So we were there, but I watched myself as to coming up to this level and stopping. Now we're going up to this level. It's always a progressive thought, because that way it has never become dull to me. The word keeps unfolding as we go along. Okay, Ephesians 1 and John 3. The Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your grace unto us. And we give all the honor and glory to you, because you're the one that leads us all, gives us breath, life, and all the things that we have. And we thank you for them. And we ask you to just forgive us when we sometimes make a mistake or something, Lord, of speaking and trying to help people understand things. And our thoughts would be in the right order, but maybe sometimes our words are not exactly. So forgive us. And you just help us and let the people put it together the way it's supposed to be. And let your love be made manifest to all of us. Guide us now. Bless those that are not here and that will hear the message later. We pray that you would guide each one in our thoughts and ideas in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians. Just be 31 times. Read it. That's not too bad. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings were in heavenly places were in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, back there, now watch, having predestinated, looked down, saw it, predestinated, predetermined it, us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood, which is now, watch, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So then Calvary would have to come into being. The unfolding down through time would have to come, as we were covering this morning. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, what? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath already abounded toward us, piled it up, heaped it up, in all wisdom and prudence. What is that he's piled up? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Starts in Christ, it's going to end in Christ, right? Both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Everything's name's Christ Jesus, right? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, what? Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. See, that's not finished yet, so he's still writing his word. That was the point of trying to get you to see this morning. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man, he declares him to be the teacher here. Jesus declares him later to be the teacher of Israel. Okay? Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, and remember, Brother Branham emphasizes that if God ever states anything twice to listen, he's going to say something like surely, surely, you know, something. All right. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, see, nailing it again, I say unto thee, except a man be born, what? Of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. You can be seated. We'll continue the thought of that scripture on into the Lord willing Wednesday night. But now, I want to get these couple of messages in line to help us to follow on and understand, you know, because as I said this morning, I wish you would read or listen to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, and read it. And notice the things that are there because, see, the entire basis of that, other than some little thing that this guy's here doing something, or a man's in charge, or whatever these things are, or something where he was traveling, or whatever. The whole emphasis of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the kingdom. The kingdom. All right? So then we would need to understand that. Let's see. And I want to remind you of this because I know a lot of people like to take this part and take that part. The kingdom of God is mentioned 68 times in the Bible. The kingdom of heaven is mentioned 31 times. I've heard people try to make great speeches about the difference in the two. You know, this one is this way and this one is that way. And the Bible says the kingdom of God and the other one says kingdom of heaven. And, you know. But if the kingdom of God is within and the kingdom of heaven is heaven ruling over earth, if that's the way you want to make your saying to fit, wouldn't it be the same?
Right. Sure.
So it wouldn't matter if it's kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. It would relate. See, it's the same situation as to what we're talking about, because what did he say to Nicodemus? You must be born what? From above. So then heaven is to rule over earth. And then still, even though we have the new birth in here, it does not bring heaven to earth. It takes us into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, so then the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So don't get in there and say, well, I've got to decide which one these is talking about, which one and which one is talking about. Just read it and listen to it and think about what's being said. All right? Because that's what we're going to talk about for a couple of messages. You remember how we brought predestination down and showing how that that God by his foreknowledge foreknew what would take place on earth. And then this is the time of showing basically what would take place on earth. All right. Throughout the Old Testament, you can find the speaking of the kingdom to come. And, you know, they were looking for those things. They were looking for the Messiah to come. But they had it all scrupled up into the bases of trying to figure out how it was going to be and what it was going to be. And you know, the idea has always been there of knowing that God was going to do something, you know. And it's throughout the Old Testament form that they would know that he's going to come forth into a kingdom or a domain, as we call it. All right. And in doing it, see, then when Jesus starts speaking of it, then Nicodemus, he says, I don't understand you, because we're not speaking of his language. Now, had Jesus been speaking to Nicodemus, I mean, even if he said it as a future, or even if he said it not of himself, even if he said, Nicodemus, you know the scriptures, you know that God is going to come and take over. He's going to rule. He's going to manifest himself here upon the earth. Nicodemus could follow that line because that was their thoughts and ideas, you know. And it was so dwell into man until even when Jesus would speak of it, after all he said to the disciples about the kingdom and how it would be and all that we'll get that it was within and it was there. After all is said and done, and even after his resurrection, and an opening of their understanding of the scriptures, still even the disciples in Acts 1 and 6, I quote it as 1 and 8, but it's not, it's 1 and 6. is when he, you know, they asked, said, will you restore the kingdom? See, they still had in mind a physical kingdom. After all of that that's done, all it was said, all it was that Jesus said about it, and even the opening of their understanding about that, of the things, they still wanted to know if he's going to, you know, when are we going to whoop them Romans? You know, when are we going to run them off the earth? And a king's going to come. See? Because that's what they were looking for. You know. Well, what about being with him for 3.5 years and that's all you could understand about what he's saying? You know, the disciples. Well, could it be that we missed the point by, even though we've studied the message for a long time, could it be that we still don't fully understand a lot of things?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Could it be that way even now? Could they be the type and us the antitype? And, you know. All right, but let's get started. So throughout the Gospels, Jesus Christ was speaking of a kingdom, now watch, that was to come. A kingdom that was to come. He was not just saying, it's here, it's due. So as we follow it, even when he would say things about it, remember that his saying is really, it's coming. And they couldn't follow that. See, we say, oh, yeah, we know what that is because we've studied it. Yes, it could be. Like I said, we say, well, poor Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you know, he couldn't understand it. Why, all he had to do is believe. All he had to do is confess. All he had to do is accept Jesus Christ. And I went over and over it with you, what all he done. Confessing him to be coming from God. Admitting those things. But what was wrong? See, the point that God, the way he was going to do things, was spoke of throughout the Old Testament, right? Now, is that right now? The Old Testament would be speaking of what would come and take place. But after all of that said and done, the people missed it. And killed the very God that they claim, as I was saying this morning, that our God is behind a veil. He wasn't behind the veil. Because when they crucified him, it proved he wasn't. Right. The veil opened up and they could see everything.
Right.
See? Could it be that we could miss those things too? Okay. Now watch. Verse 3, Jesus says, unless you're born again, unless Nicodemus, you are born from above. And truly, Nicodemus would have known his wording. See? He wouldn't have been toying over whether or not he was speaking in Greek or Latin you know, what is the other one? The Bible is supposed to be written at
Aramaic.
What?
Aramaic.
Aramaic, okay. See, it wouldn't be that Nicodemus would be wondering what he's talking about physically. Because if he had that ability and had been around that long, he probably knew every language that there was. And he could have probably given you a lot of definitions of the wording that Jesus used, you know, of what it meant to be born. And he surely knew that Jesus was talking about you must be born from above. All right? And see, in knowing that, then he couldn't follow that thought. Now, these couple of messages, you'll see more and more why he couldn't follow that thought. That's what I want you to get. That this man, the greatest of all, could not follow the thought through to the end. And it was reasons he couldn't follow that. Because that the way that it came, they had it figured out. You know, everybody had probably little different ways of it being. One had him coming on a horse. One had him coming on a donkey. One had him born as a baby. One had him an old man. The Jews today, about 8 or 10 years ago, there was a guy up in New York, about 90 years old, died. You know what day? A lot of them believed he was the Messiah. So they're not looking for the Messiah like we think. Maybe. They have the concept that it would be. What did that priest, what did that guy that Brother Branham talked to, you know, what did he say? Who will the Messiah be? He said he'd be God. Yeah. Well, see, why couldn't? And then he says, well, then where did Jesus miss it? He said, I'll hear you at another time. See, he knew he couldn't talk to him. He knew he couldn't argue a point with him or anything. So he just said, I'll talk to you later. You know what he went on to say? One of them did, said, if I believe that, I'd be out here, you know, searching for my bread, eating soda crackers. But look, as I've emphasized over and over, Jesus said in verse 3, unless you're born again, you cannot see. Amen. You cannot understand the kingdom. Amen. All right. Then he goes into verse 5, and he says, you cannot enter. Now we know the Bible, as we were quoting this morning, we're always quoting that scripture about it. That what? That no man can call Jesus the Christ. What? Except it be by the new birth. I'm saying what Brother Branham said. See, the Bible said unless it be by the Holy Ghost. He said unless it be by the new birth or by the born again experience, one word against the other. That's the way he's expressing it. That's why, to me, I love the way Brother Branham says things. Because, remember, he's the prophet. We were talking about it last night in the Bible study. I really had a good time there. I always do, and listening and talking. And, you know, where it says there in the book of Acts, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, and all. But what did it say right before then? See, Brother Branham always says that they said, what must we do to be born again or saved? He'll put the word. It's not there. The Bible simply says, what must we do? But see, Brother Branham is telling you what is being said. Huh? Because he's telling you what it's speaking of. That's why I love it that way. When he says that the Bible says, the angel of God encampeth about those who fear him. It does not say angels. It says angel, singular. But Brother Branham always quoted it, angels. See, well, you say, well, was he trying to say that was wrong to say that? No, because after you take all the angels and you, sorry for the word, but you lump sum it all into one, it comes out to be the Holy Ghost, which is the angel of God. Mm-hmm. Only the redeemed have angels. Am I quoting him? Only the redeemed have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Only the redeemed have assigned angels that are ministering spirits to minister unto the heirs of salvation. All right? See, that's why I love to listen to Brother Branham as he expresses something. He's not correcting it. He's bringing it to our way of speaking. And doing. Okay. See, watch that as you go along studying the message. Now watch. If you cannot see the kingdom, how could you enter the kingdom? We were on that the other day, you know, asking that question. If you can't understand what is being said, how could you enter therein? See, because it would not, you know, you would not be able to do that. All right? Then when you say that you must be born again to see or enter, because if you can't see it, how can you enter? What kind of a kingdom was Jesus speaking of? I'm trying to make this as, I'm accused of being deep with saying things. I'm trying to make this as simple as I can make it. For us to think about it. I like to preach things just like that I'm honest to say it, and you get upset with me all you want to, because it ain't going to change me and probably won't change you. But I like to preach to get the people to realize they ain't got nothing. You realize if you ain't got nothing, you can be helped. But if you realize, if you believe you got all, every bit of it, you don't need nothing. Right? So I like to preach to make it to where that say, everybody in the building is in this shape. Everybody in the building is a Nicodemus sitting before. And everybody in the building means me, sitting before the Lord Jesus, trying to understand. And we can make our own concepts and thoughts about it. But I keep putting it in before you do it. Make sure you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And watch the whole emphasis upon the entire writing is upon the kingdom. It's not an emphasis upon the basis of Jesus being God and this, that, and the other. The emphasis is upon the kingdom that would be coming. Right. Now then, what kind of a kingdom is that? Do you mind this afternoon if we give a few scriptures and try to run with it a little bit? So go ahead, brothers. They'll pull these and we'll talk about it. Watch what Jesus says about this kingdom of God. Go ahead with number one, which is Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. All right. You don't have to pull up the number two, but Jesus in John 18, speaking to Pilate, Pilate gets him there, interrogates him, trying to figure out what he's doing, to see whatever he could do, and he winds up, Jesus said in verse 30, six, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. And you know, here's a man brought in with the accusation that he says he's the king of the Jews. A king. Right in the midst of all of that. And remember, if he's king of the Jews outnumbered the Romans. No telling how many. They were a great nation. See, they were afraid of them. Pity patter around, not be so strong about certain things? Why didn't Pilate go out there and say, get out of here, don't come back? You know, don't even appear here if I cut your head off, you do. See, they were afraid of the Jews. And every little uprising would come, they paid close attention. Not only the Jews were afraid of the little uprising, the Romans were afraid of it because they were outnumbered. A great people. And they were scared of those things. But Pilate winds up to going back and paraphrasing in simple language. He goes back to those Jews and he said, I'm not afraid of this guy. Because whatever kingdom he's talking of is not of this world. You know. So I'm not afraid. He was just trying to get the thing off his hands. Because he didn't want to aggravate the Jews. You know. But what could the man do? Because how about when they wind up saying what they did? Look at the slap put into the face of the Lord Jesus. We have no God but Caesar, a ruler, you know. We have no ruler but Caesar. Pilate wasn't Caesar. Caesar was over in Rome, as we were talking some last night about. You remember, he was over there. He wasn't over there in all this confusion that was going on. You got to get him on up way above to get to the Caesars. We have no king but Caesar. But think about it. See, he knew that Jesus was saying, if it was, then he says, my kingdom is not from here. Hence, it's not from here. He sends him back and he says, deal with him. But don't bring him to me. I'm not afraid of him. You know, you remember one of the Gospels bring it something to the related to the basis. They said, don't you realize that I can do? And Jesus says, you have no power except what my Father gives you or allows you. He still wasn't afraid of him. Because, hey, they believed in so many gods too. Pilate probably sitting there thinking, well, hey, this guy's talking about a God bigger than this we got over here in the temple now. You know, because he is at least doing some things. But they wasn't afraid. You get the point? They weren't afraid of him being a king. You know, the Romans wasn't. But they knew that he spoke of a kingdom. Because as he constantly spoke of a kingdom throughout the Gospels, then the disciples constantly would question him about the things that he was saying. What kind of a kingdom? Right? What kind of a kingdom do you think about having? What about a kingdom like this? What about a kingdom? Surely Pilate, as I said, had heard a lot of those things. And he, you know, had some understanding about what had went on in his day because he was the guy over the head of everything, you know. All right. Well, go ahead to number 3, which is Mark 10 and 14 and 15. And think about it. What kind of a kingdom you're talking about? Now, I'm reading these to where you'll understand the kingdom, but I'm trying to read it to where you'll understand why Nicodemus couldn't understand. Oh, if Jesus had laid down this great plan, I'm this, and I've come, and what we're going to do, we're going to set this thing up, and we're going to start over here, and we're going to get all the people over here, and we're going to gather all of them together, and we're going to have a war. Well, Nicodemus said, oh boy, I'm on your side. Remember, Nicodemus knew what Jesus had said about the kingdom. I mean, not everything, but you know what I'm talking about. Get the point. So what does he say? Watch why Nicodemus couldn't understand, you must be born again. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. Hey, you done blowed Nicodemus totally out of the bracket because he couldn't understand him. I got to go back to my mother and be born again. No! You know, he knew better than that. That was just a statement. Because he knew it was impossible for him to go do that. But this guy's talking about a kingdom of something. And he says, put all of these together and let him read it. Read it as Nicodemus sitting listening. Nicodemus, I know you're going to say, oh, he didn't talk over here. Okay, I ain't going to fuss with you. I'm just going to say plainly what I'm saying. Nicodemus knew all about what Jesus was saying or the things he had taught. They heard of those things and talked about them. You know, they did have 24 hours a day to be able to talk about things, you know. They didn't have a job to go to on Monday morning to report. They had, okay. So what about a kingdom? Nicodemus, what about a kingdom? You don't understand me about born from above. And you don't understand how that you got to be born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus, I'm talking about a kingdom that a little child is going to lead you. Is that other scripture? That a little child. You got to become Nicodemus away from that great mental concept in your mind down to a little child. Or else you can't enter what I'm talking about. See? You must be born again. Like a little child. Huh? Now, going to number four, which will drop us back to Luke 17, 20 and 21. Go ahead with number four. All right, we need to have verse 20 up before that. But anyhow, the verse 20 is the one right back prior to that that would be saying, the kingdom cometh not with observation. That's verse 20. Then this is verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Well, you're throwing Nicodemus so far away now until he has no capability of understanding. You must become as a little child to enter this kingdom. And this kingdom is not a natural, physical, worldly kingdom, but it's within. Do you know that even the scholars have argued that scripture? Right, Brother Dick? He knows all about it. We've talked about it over many years. They argue that scripture. Was the kingdom out there? Was it in him or was it in them? That's the argument among the religious world even today. They still don't understand what Jesus said. You must be born again. All you got to do is just repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that all you got to do? That's part of it, right? But is that all that happens? No, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we're confusing Nicodemus with understanding. What kind of a domain, what kind of a kingdom are you speaking of, Jesus? It cannot be a natural, you've gotten away from that point. That it's not of this world. It's not a literal kingdom. It's a kingdom that is from above, not of this world. It's going to have to come down. It's not from Mars, Venus, etc. But it's from above. And if Nicodemus admitted, okay, hey, it's from above, then Jesus would simply say to him, then why don't you believe I come from above? Because I'm speaking of a birth that comes from where I come from. That you must have the same birth I have had. A birth, what does it mean? It means a coming forth into. See, that's like when Brother Branham will even cover the statue of a perfect man. Birth into this, birth into this, birth into this, birth. You mean you have seven or eight births? That's what the Bible, I mean, it's what the prophet said. Because it means a coming forth into is the word birth. All right. So then Jesus was not speaking of a literal kingdom. He was speaking of a spiritual kingdom, and that spiritual kingdom would be transmitted into the soul, the heart of man, the soul of mankind, and bring in heaven ruling over earth. Right? Born from above. Look at number five. Look at Mark. And look what's being said. They said, the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there's one God, and there's none but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, you know, this guy was saying, right, this guy was saying that the kingdom is to be this and to be that. Jesus, when he answered, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. The man was speaking of one God, first off. Then he was speaking of a God of love and understanding and compassion and, you know, the soul that we was to serve God with all of those things. And Jesus says, you're not far from the kingdom. Now, I like the rest of that. Once he said that, look what happened. No man after that does ask him any question. You know why you don't ask no questions? You get confused. You just don't ask no more questions. You don't want to be no more confused. All right? But all right, so then this kingdom would be a kingdom of love and loving your neighbor. And can't you just see, now, I told you I'm putting this into a story form. Can't you just see Nicodemus then? Well, you really nailed me now. Because now you're talking about me loving my neighbor. And I don't like my neighbor. I hate my neighbor. But now you're talking about I got to love my neighbor.
Yep. Right.
And you're talking about being kind and everything. Yeah. Like I was saying this morning, what kind of an attitude do you think your God would have speaking the way Jesus did? Did he look around? You don't understand me. My kingdom is from above. And if you understood me, you would be on my side. No. A meek, humble man that was speaking soft words, unless provoked. It's hard to follow that type of a man, isn't it? Adolf Hitler never made it nowhere with that kind of an attitude. You know, everything got to be in place. I read this one time about Hitler, that there was a lady told him, said, you need to change your facial expression. You need to change your hair. You need to change your attitude. And said, you'll become something. So when he come out, he changed everything. He got him another haircut. He got him another doing. He got another way of talking. I mean, you want a guy that's running for president to be boisterous. We're going to pull this thing out. I'm going to show you how. I'm not throwing off on Trump or anybody else. But we're going to pull this thing out. You're going to vote for somebody that comes up and says, well, I tell you what, it looks like we're all in bad shape. Right? You ain't going to vote for that kind of guy.
Yeah.
It don't matter. And like the fella said, you know, he run for office and he didn't make it. And he lost it. And he was happy. And the guy said, why are you so happy and you lost? He said, I don't have to keep all the promises I made. See? Yeah, true. All right. Well, look, a spiritual kingdom that a man that would be speaking of God and be speaking of his understanding of how the things would be, and Jesus says, you're not far from the kingdom. Because the kingdom has got to be within. But, Jesus, how are we going to get all these scriptures fulfilled with something on the inside of us? You know that Jesus never spoke of taking over and ruling in the natural? He spoke of obeying. He spoke of being good to your rulers and agree with them and do things. He didn't speak a rebellious message. You wouldn't be too concerned about that kind of a guy, would you? All right. So it must be, now watch, it must be a kingdom of love. It must be a kingdom of understanding. It must be of from the heart of man. It must be some things like Paul would say. Go to number 6, Romans 14 and 17, and look what Paul had to say about it. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, what about it? You see why Nicodemus couldn't follow Jesus? Come on. May I tell a story without you just... Well, Nicodemus never did sit down that long with Jesus and talk it over. You don't know he didn't. It's okay. See why Nicodemus or no one could understand? You see why the disciples couldn't understand? I'm just throwing it to Nicodemus. The disciples couldn't understand what kind of a kingdom this man was speaking of. Because nobody ever spake like that about the way to be. What about a kingdom that the king had to die? You ever seen a kingdom like that? You ever seen a kingdom that the king had to die? I mean, he has to die. It's meant that he had to die. And he had to die before the kingdom could come. What kind of a kingdom are you? You know, that don't even make sense. Right. See, everybody's been looking for a ruler. All those Pharisees had it figured out about a ruler to come. You know. Boy, this would happen and that would happen. And of course, Caiaphas, you know, they had it all figured out. Well, he's going to come to the temple. And when he does, he's going to come to me. And he's going to sit out there and we'll roll out a carpet and he can stand out on that end. And Caiaphas will walk down and say, oh, the great Messiah is here. Do you understand the way I said that? See, we think it's the other way, but that's what Caiaphas thought. That the rollout would be from him because Jesus is going to have to come his way to be the king. Are you with me? Trying to make a story out of it. Acts 1 and 6. After all is said and done, will you restore the kingdom? Brother Branham still said, still thinking of an earthly kingdom. What do we think of? What about a kingdom of love and joy and peace, kindness, everything? All right, Brother Joe gave me a thing that, let's see. I was preaching on a message back years ago, and Brother Branham, Brother Joe ran this off for me a while ago and brought it. So if you're going to get mad at anybody, Joe's in the office. Okay. I'm just reading. Okay. Brother Branham on the message, Uniting Time and Sign. These are not for them. See, now, if Joe can flack it up there quick, it'd be all right. Said, I do not try to say too much about it on, you know, around people complaining. Because I think one of the horriblest things is to be a man or a woman that's constantly complaining. I've always thought, God keep me from it. See, that weakens faith all the time. You know. Now, you know what I say, because you've been with me long enough to know. There's people that you give them $1 million, and what are they going to do? I'm going to pay taxes on this. Well, I mean, okay, if it takes half of it for taxes, you still got $500,000. But they're going to gripe about it because that's just part of our makeup. Now, the reason I bring this out, Joe didn't know I was going to approach this way, but he's the one that brought me this point. And I'll read a few more here. Because to me, see, you look at the Old Testament people, and everything, as I was trying to illustrate a little bit this morning, those Old Testament people, you go over out of Israel right now, and you don't see people smiling and laughing and talking. They're stern. I mean, you know, even the waiters and the things, they're stern. We were standing in line in a motel. We were supposed to be the elite to be there. And we were standing there, and they was going to serve us this turkey, and they was going to serve us these great things. And I'm standing just, you know, just maybe a foot from the place to pick up my tray, and I had it in my hand. And this lady come up between me and that counter and stuck her thing out and said, "I want my food." I said, "Yes, ma'am." Get ahead. They're not too friendly people. And if I'd been treated probably like they'd been treated, I probably wouldn't be too friendly either, wouldn't you? But think about in the Old Testament that those thoughts of those people back there was a constant bombardment of their mind and the things that happened and the way that it went on. Can't you just see that the basics of the Old Testament was not a God of love to mankind because he didn't see him that way? As I said about Brother Gary saying, you know, if you change it around instead of saying, you know, "Thou shalt not kill," would you turn it around and say, "Thou shalt not kill"? It changes a lot of things. The Old Testament was not a God of hatred, but that's what mankind thought of it. They never thought that Jesus, to be in speaking of, how could Nicodemus consider, after all of the fact of all the years they'd been in bondage and all the things, that this man would want to talk about love them Romans. Be good to them. He was only thinking of rulership. Right? But you see, that's why it makes us into that form. All right? Brother Brent says, "But I think one of the most horrible things is for Satan to crown some person's life with a crabby old man or an old woman. I want my life crowned with the glory of God, his long-suffering, gentleness, peace, meekness, and filled with the Holy Ghost." They said of Brother Branham, you could not tell his friends nor his enemies by his reaction. That's a good point. Flashing red lights of his coming. One of those most miserable things is to see a man or a woman who has never accepted Christ and just lived an old mossback church member meaner than Satan himself. That's pretty good. He goes down to paragraph 165 and he says, "God, give me grace to never complain. And I want my life, Lord. I want my people's life. God, grant that our life should be crowned. No matter if we suffer, whatever takes place, and many turns against me." All right? Then he goes on, "I hope that God will never let Satan crown me as an old, crabby, indifferent man and my wife as an old, nagging woman. Are your wife, are you that way? I pray that, brother, that our lives will be crowned with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, and faith in the Holy Ghost." What about it? Could we back there with the mentality of Nicodemus and the people, could we understand a man speaking of love? Could we understand a man speaking that if they smite you on one cheek, turn the other cheek? Could we follow that? May I bring it on up today? Can we follow it now? You know, I thought we were supposed to believe that all things work together for good. Now, what did Brother Brown say one time? I like this one. He said, sometimes God will let somebody say something to you to see how you will react. Huh? Well, what kind of a kingdom is this man speaking of? What kind of a kingdom would be, as we go on to number 7? That watch. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man can hardly, rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. A lot of people have tried to describe that, you know. And they'll say, and it is, they have a little small gate, and this thing is called the eye of the needle of the gate, you know. And it would mean that a camel could not go through there with a burden on its back. And that's a good point. Irregardless of what you want to think about the eye of the needle and what it is, just remember it's signifying the basis that you can't go with through it with all of the burdens of the world. Right? You can't enter there in. Now watch. Look at number 8, Matthew 21:31. Whether of them twain did the will of the Father? And he said unto them, they said unto him, the first, you know, they're going into which one is right, or the publican or the guy praying and whatever. Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom before you. Now, what do you think Nicodemus would think of that statement?
Right.
That the publicans and the harlots are going to go in before you do. What do you think Nicodemus would think about that kind of a kingdom? What's the next one? Matthew 20:43. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, you know what that means. It was going to be taken from the Jews and given to the Gentiles. Right? What kind of a king do you think Nicodemus would think as the man that was sitting before him? See, this is a lot of this is spoken to the disciples. What do you think the disciples would have understanding? That you got to become a child. They're just not something that you can do. See? What do you think about it? Brother Branham would be referring to Jesus and the great ruler off the message, you must be born again. He said, you must be born again. Then why must I be born again? That's what I want to know. If I am a minister of the gospel, if I'm a good person and I pay my debts and I'm just and honest and walk upright before them, what more could God require of me? Why must I have some kind of an experience, as people tell me, that I must be born again? Why did Jesus say to this ruler who lived high and holy and was requested that, or not requested, but commanded that he must be born again? What do you think about it, Nicodemus? Said, you must be born again. Why must you be born again? He's dead. The flesh he's in, he's a hybrid. He's got to be born again. Why? He was born in sin from Eve's sin, shaping an iniquity. Why must we be born again? See? Every man and woman, no matter whether he's the Pope, priest, bishop, whoever he is, he dies because he's a hybrid. That's exactly. He was born between Satan and Eve. And they call it whatever you want to. It was Satan and Eve. The original word had nothing to do with it. So what would you say to Nicodemus? Nicodemus, you was born between Satan and Eve. What if you said that to Nicodemus? Well, he would have clearly told you that he was his lineage was right and everything was perfectly and right. And it was. And to tell a great man like Nicodemus, who had spent all of his life there and been honored of all, but unless you become as a little child, you're not going to enter the kingdom. What kind of a kingdom is this kingdom that Jesus was speaking of? Because we know that God don't have any grandchildren. Right? See, that makes a man a new person is because he's born again, reborn. His first birth brings him a natural man on earth. This is questions and answers in 64. The second birth brings him a spiritual man of heaven. It changes him, his soul, not his outward conscience, but not his outward conscience, his outward being, his senses. He still feels and sees and tastes, but the inward parts, his desires, what motivates him, has been changed to God. Can that even fall upon our grounds for us to think about? We're in Laodicea, right? What does Laodicea mean? People's rights. Everybody's got their rights, right? Everybody demands their rights. I like what, who was it? I'll get him in a minute, but anyhow, you know, they kind of label him a fool back in the way back. He's one of the great men. And he was walking down the street or something, maybe with his wife or something, walking along. And he asked this man, "Would you step aside, sir?" He said, "I never step aside for a fool." You read that? What did he say? He said, "I always do." He called him a fool and got by with it. Right? But you see, what is this kingdom that comes out of a mess? That's what I'm quoting from the Message. Why? 1960. Life comes out of death. Comes out of a mess. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground. Then it's got to give new birth to glories and shouts and praises of God that make him act different. Changes his nature, changes his life, changes his motives, and changes his objective. You must be born again. Oh, soul, good or bad, death doesn't change it. He said he had a lot of scripture wrote down. But the soul is, what is a soul? It's you. You're a soul, the part inside of you. And when you die, ever what shape that soul's in, that's the way it goes. It goes to its destination. You can't pull it back. What kind of a kingdom was Jesus speaking of? Do you see what my point? To use Nicodemus as to letting him understand all of these things. Because, you know, somebody did. And as well learned as the man was, surely he knew more than to just, well, I'm going over to see him. But the main thing is bring it down to your life and mine. What if a few more rolls and turns of the clock brings us into horrible times? brings us into places of no food, no life. You think, boy, I got it made. You think, man, we're drawing, you know. I mean, we guaranteed. I'm not throwing off on the lady, but she was plain and answered it. When Obama took over, what'd she say? He's going to pay my house rent. He's going to pay for my car. I'm not throwing off on her because that's what everybody else said.
Right?
What are you going to do when you don't have any? He said, yeah, but I got my money saved up. Were. And if you did. Yeah. But if you did. If you had it in a can out in the backyard. And you pull out a fresh new $20 bill and flop that thing down. They're going to come looking all over your place with Geiger counters and everything to find that money. Right? What's it going to be? Well, do you belong to this kingdom? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm beginning to wonder if I did or not, you know. Because it's going to cost you your life. You're a doomsday preacher. No, sir. I quote Brother Branham. He said, keep your homes. What belong to the Catholic Church? Is that the way he's made the statement? There is a statement there. He said you'd be physically bereft at the mercy of the elements. Oh, that's the foolish virgins. I've been through that. I've been through that back there when that first was talking about. Well, you better read what he said. He's talking about the bride church. There may be some horrible times ahead of us. What kind of a kingdom is going to meet that situation? What kind of a life are we going to have? And why not be this way? Why can't we be? Why can't you love the people that even hate you? Right? You know. That even want to do you wrong. There was so much love in that church back in the Dark Ages until even when the officers, it's in Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you want to read it, when the soldiers that was going to throw those people into the lines and things, a lot of times would see so much until they would just throw down their weapons and walk right in there with them. Would there be any way to explain that to Nicodemus? That's the question I'm asking you this afternoon. Because we're going to talk about the kingdom within, because that kingdom has got to be within you, not somewhere else. We'll pick it up Wednesday more on that, of the kingdom within, you know, and what it is, and how that it has to manifest itself through us.
Amen.
All right? In a kingdom. A kingdom. A domain that we're in. And that Christ would be our example. As I said, if Nicodemus had enough to come to do that, surely he checked out the Lord Jesus in his life, in his doings. Right? And even Pilate, he wasn't afraid. What about you? You got a country that you got 10 million, this is the number of people, and there's another group of people there that's 20, 30 million. And they could take over at any time. But you're not afraid of them. Because if he believed, you know, if Jesus was right, his kingdom was not of this world. It was within. They said they've argued whether that within means out there, in here, or with our. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. At that place and time, nobody but him understood the kingdom. No matter how much their understandings were opened to the word and to things, they ended up by saying, will you restore the kingdom at this time? Proving they did not understand Do we understand? Right about it. Do we understand what kind of a kingdom you and I are in? You never hear me going off on this person or that person that don't agree. I will explain why I don't agree. Right, I will. That's fine. But you don't hear me just picking out and lambasting people. Why? Because what if tomorrow they're one of us? Now what are you going to do? You know, you get what I mean? And like I've always said, I love the way Brother Branham puts everything together. And even like committing people over to God, because you can't commit them to the devil. See, that's what we thought. And when I first come into the message, that was the great understanding of the people of the message. That we're going to, if somebody ain't right, we'll just commit them to the devil. I said, that ain't right. Brother Branham didn't say it that way. He said, you commit them to God. He commits them to the devil. Do you need that quote? You need that understanding? How could you commit them to the devil anyway? Because I'm just carnal, I know. I'm sorry. Come on, musician. I know I'm carnal. But this is the way I think. I mean, here I am. Y'all get together, and you're over here, and you're committing me to the devil because of what I'm doing. And I'm at home, and I'm crying out, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for what I've done. And Lord, forgive them that are wanting to persecute me. Right? Do you understand what I mean? See, I'm over here praying for you, and you're over here committing me to the devil. That doesn't work too good. But if it's committing to God, you know, and the church has went through the channels and things and said, okay, we have to loose this person from the blood. Then, in all of that, the person at home is praying, Lord, forgive me. And somebody in the group that we're trying to maybe do what is done, maybe somebody in the group would speak in tongues and interpret it. And say that brother or sister is at home praying for you right now. So it's all solved. Now what are you going to do? You understand? That way then we're not just doing what we have the right to do. We're praying to God for him to make all things well. And no matter what, forgiving and, you know, saying forget it. Because this is what our king says. Man, like I've always said, you say, well, Brother Dale, you're talking about me. If that's what you think, then you need to talk to God. Because he'll tell you whether I'm talking about you or not. You see, I'm the guy that's got to do things that don't like to be done. Like it was said one time, who's going to cast the first stone? Well, you know what? Whether it kills me or what it does, I have to cast the first stone. I'm in a job, in a position that I have to cast the first stone. Right? Anybody want to swap jobs with? I have to try to follow the word, regardless of what it costs me. You know, And irregardless of how much I agree, a lot of times I've got to do the way that God does it. You know, God says do it. Because that's my position, my place. So then don't think in your mind, well, is he talking about me? Just think, Lord, how much I love you for reminding me or allowing me to see the truth of the day and the hour that we're living. Every prayer I pray, every night, Lord, thank you for what you've given me. You've given me salvation. You've given me all of these things. You've given me a church, a group of people that wants to hear. You've given me money. You've given me cars. You've given me homes. You've given me all these things. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it. But he gave it to me. Remember the Bible says, all things that we have, what? It comes from God. The breath we breathe, the things we eat, everything. And who was it? Was it Stonewall? Was that the one? Stonewall Jackson. They asked him, said, how can you stand in horrible times and trouble? He said, I never take a drink of water unless I thank God for the water. What about a kingdom? May I say it this way? What about a kingdom of a bunch of misfits? You know what misfits are? They just don't fit. Right? Misfits just don't fit. That's why they call misfits. What about a bunch of people like you and I that are just plain old misfits? What brought us all together? What put us in a place that we are today? The kingdom is within. It's not of this world. Don't come with observation, which means it don't come with great things. It's just small and do it. But yet it creeps throughout the world to bring the bride of Christ to a place of being who they are. Let's stand. What do you think about it? What do we got, brother?
Not number 158 in the red book.
Time is filled with swift transition. Lord of earth, unmoved.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our brother, condemning this hurt and problem in his side. We know that it's been affecting him a long time. And we bring it before you, Lord. And we lay it upon the altar. And we thank you. Thank you for taking it away. Jesus. Anybody else just have a need?
Trust in him.
My wife's been, her blood sugar's been running for the past week or two into a higher order than as many, maybe many among you. Maybe there's something, whatever. But let's just believe. Father, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing that by your stripes, our brother is healed. And we condemn this demon of sugar, it is called. Because there's a lot of people in the building that have that same problem of it running up and down. We condemn it, Father, under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Listen. Oh, to God's unchanging hand.
Fellowship meeting.